The views expressed on this podcast is strictly of the host and any subsequent guests. In other words, this ain't got shit to do with my employer.
Whole team committed, gotta go and get it, chose to be ignorant, that was the decision, whole team committed, gotta go and get it, chose to be ignorant, that was the decision.
I done came down, still hollering, what's up with it, I do it for my fam, friends and my enemies, we choose to be ignorant, I blow smoke like incense, all my folks go get it, rough show the realest, so multi-million, oh what a feeling, never seen a ceiling, we are in the building, rather build the building, work to do plenty, no time for chilling, put on for my city. Ignorant choices, 300 horses, self-worth more than your Porsches, bring it to your front door, where your porch is, gorgeous, looking like a Basquiat portrait, that means I'm feeling blacker than ever, young black male, get the bag, package delivered, shout out to my brother on a whole nother level, Mr. Rough Show, can't no one do it better,
Welcome to the Ignorant by Choice podcast. I'm your host, Rough Show. And today I got some special guests for y'all for my first episode. Bringing in, we got Miss Tiaja Tucker, known by T. And we also got the Witty Committee. You know, I shared them plenty of times on my page. So I know y'all pretty familiar with the your big homie, Bella. And you're always authentic, Anise Austin.
The baby boys. Hey.
Hi. It's a pleasure to have you guys here with me. I really appreciate y'all driving all the way to Memphis to come through this first episode.
Gang. Yeah. I don't fuck with you if you don't gang. Bang. Gang. I don't fuck with you if you don't gang. Bang.
I appreciate it, man. So before we get some things started and jump in, we just want y'all to go ahead and tell a little bit about yourselves, and then we can dive into the topic.
We are the Witty Committee, as my brother just so eloquently introduced us. We're coming live from Smash Brothers Radio Wednesdays at 7 o'clock p.m., Witty Wednesdays. You can check us out everywhere that you can check us out at. Everywhere that you can check us out at. We came here specifically to support our player partner, my dope ass brother. I've been wanting this man to get in front of somebody's microphone for years, way before I even knew this was something that I was gonna do. Like, we have a small group of friends. We support everything that we do. If I'm going to be great, I need my brother to be great just as much. T here, if anybody was supposed to be the person that was in front of the microphone first, it was supposed to be T-ass. And shit, we just here, man. We just thankful for the opportunity around this bitch. Ain't that right, T?
Surely right.
I appreciate it, man. All right, T, so what were some things about you?
Well, I'm T. I hate my job. Going back to school soon, sometime soon.
Multi-talented.
Right now, the project that I'm working on right now is doing something for the city of Birmingham.
Yeah.
We got something called Citizens First Program that everybody that's part of 99 districts. The 99 neighborhoods of Birmingham is part of. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, other than that, I hate my job, bro. That's all. That's it. I'm just trying to work so I can not have to hate my job again. You know what I'm saying? So
she do it all.
I see you. Go ahead, Bell.
Hey, it's your big homie, as Ruff so eloquently put it earlier. I am the other half of the Witty Committee. I am thoroughly pleased in being here, actually. this was dope to come and support somebody that supported us for so long. We are just centered around making sure we always have a foot in progressive actions and what we want to get established and what we want to get done. So help being here to establish another podcast that we know we're going to rock with is just, it's prime for us. I mean, yeah. we kind of just further perpetuating the idea that we already established ourselves.
That we already established and all of us can eat.
All of us can eat.
Hold that down, bro.
Hold that down.
It don't matter. All of us can eat. And I just want to let everybody know that everything that's associated with me and everybody that's associated with me is going to prosper. We tired of asking for food, bro.
Facts.
Nobody asking for nothing no more.
Asking for shit.
Facts.
Walk in your trap and take over your trap. And all we need is a microphone like my brother got. All we need is some headphones. All we need is a fucking camera. Turn that bitch on us. And I guarantee you're going to have many folks that's going to watch us and support black movements, black ownership, all things black, regal, royalty, all of that, nigga. All that. Forevermore, nigga. 2019 and beyond, bitch.
I appreciate it, man. I definitely do appreciate it. So to go ahead and just pretty much dive in, one of the things, we're going to talk about this evening. So this been like my idea for this episode since it happened. So when Nipsey passed away. Definitely rest in peace, Nipsey Hussle. But when he passed away, like, I was hurt by it. And I want y'all to understand before y'all think, like, oh, this is another thing about Nipsey Hussle. It has something to do with Nipsey Hussle. But I don't want to say it's bigger than that. But it's more pertaining towards me, my feelings, where I was 10 years ago to where I am now. So when Nipsey Hussle passed away, so I was hurt. Like, this was probably one of the first celebrities where I literally felt like I felt the pain. Like, you know what I'm saying? He was like one of the first celebrities that has passed away that I was literally, like, I was hurt by. Like, you know, usually when somebody passed away that's famous, like, you feel bad because of their family feel bad. You know what I'm saying? But because I don't know Nip. I never met Nip. Not going to sit here and say I listened to all his music, but I kept up with a lot of the shit that he was doing for his community.
Yeah, a lot of his philanthropic
efforts. Correct, yeah. So when he passed away, I was hurt. And when he passed away, I learned about it when I was in Birmingham visiting y'all. Yeah. So, and that was also the day I was leaving. So me driving back to Memphis, I had to sit. And I ain't had nothing else to do but sit in my car and think about, you know what I'm saying, like, damn, like, he passed. It was just really me and my thoughts for 3 hours, 3.5 hours.
It was a really surreal moment, bro, because for some reason, like, I think it's because of the Hollywood era that we in right now. It's like, when somebody dies, you almost want it to be like a Hail Mary moment that happened at the last moment. Like, oh, he wasn't really, somebody got it wrong, or maybe, you know what I'm saying, they was able to put CPR on him at just the right moment, and he makes a miraculous, you know, recovery from everything. And it was like,
because he went to the hospital.
Yeah, yeah. Went to the hospital. And so it was like, it was surreal for the next 3 days. You kept sitting here watching, like,
over and over, like, the news, Facebook, social
it's like
media.
Delta's final.
Is that like, you think we felt how the people felt when Tupac died?
This is the only thing
that's akin to that.
This has to be.
This is the only
has
thing.
To be. And me being young when that happened, I didn't understand it.
Right.
Matter of fact, I didn't understand it until Nipsey Hussle died.
Yeah.
That's what made me understand it. And that's what brings me here. That's the purpose of this this episode, because 10 years ago, Michael Jackson passed away. And when he passed away, you know, Michael Jackson, that's the king of pop. It exploded, not just on social media, but as far as news.
Social media wasn't even as huge as it is now, 10 years ago.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, but even still, it was a bunch of people, you know, who were hurt by it, like who was genuinely hurt. Now, regardless of how you feel about Michael Jackson and any past accusations, I'm not here to debate anything of that nature, like anything that he was accused of. But regardless of that, a lot of people were genuinely hurt. Like, he birthed a bunch of different artists.
Yes, he did.
A lot of creatives. Like, yes, he did. He inspired other singers and dancers.
A generation.
Yeah. Yes, he did. He did.
He made music videos and event.
Exactly. Exactly. And, like, I guess 10 years ago, at the age of 22, I knew that.
Yeah.
But I can't say I really cared to a certain extent.
Come on, that's what I want.
Like, and because I didn't care, I wrote a note. I wrote a note on Facebook. For everybody who's listening, when I post this, I'm going to post screenshots of the note that I wrote.
I'm on there too, y'all. I'm the first person that comes in. Okay.
I'm gonna post screenshots of it, but first I'm gonna read some of it to you. And the reason that I wanted to do this, and the reason that I wanted to talk about it, is because when Nipsey died, for me, I'm gonna get y'all opinion about it, but for me, Nipsey turned me into a hypocrite. Or at least that's how I felt. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt like one of the biggest hypocrites. And I'm known, I will call you out if you a hypocrite.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But before I can ever show somebody else the mirror, I got to stand in front of the
that's
mirror.
What we believe in, bro.
And show myself. So, yeah. And that's what this is about. So, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to read some of the things that I said in this notes. And I want y'all to understand, this is from 10 years ago. I was 22.
Don't come at my brother about nothing 10 years ago. I'm saying it right now. I'm going to be one of the roughnecks. I'm going to be one of the people that's a part of the fan club that he said he didn't want. I'm the president, chairman, outlet. Don't come at my brother on no dumb shit.
And we got guns too.
Right. Fuck you talking about, y'all. Bell. Y'all.
So it started off like the... The title of it is My Thoughts on Passing of the Late Great Musician Michael Jackson. So, you know, it says, well, I really don't know how to start this note off, but here we go. Michael Jackson was a great entertainer. He could sing and dance, and he kept your attention when he was performing. But that's all he was. He wasn't no savior, no great person. He was the king of a genre of music, which was pop. I didn't know him personally, and neither did the majority of everyone on Facebook. That's my friends. Yeah, he donated to charities, but none of them ever benefited me or you. So stop with the acting. People crying and killing themselves over a person that entertains you. No, I'm not being insensitive. I'm being real about the situation. The thing that saddens me about Mike dying is he was someone's father, brother, cousin, friend, and most of all, someone's son. Like Janet said on BET Awards, to us, he's a music icon. To her, he is family. To me, Michael is as much alive as he was before he died. If I want to see him, I can go to YouTube or watch him on TV, just the same as the rest of you people. Because y'all was not family, nor y'all were friends, nor did y'all even know him personally. Everybody writing statuses on Facebook talking about they was crying, and I'm like, for what? What has he done for you or your family besides entertain? So I know that seems harsh, but it's the truth. For instance, Ed and Farrah died, but it wasn't that big a deal like when Mike died. And I'm like, their lives are no less important than Mike. But yet, and I still turn on the TV and Mike is everywhere. Quite frankly, I'm tired of hearing about Mike on TV and the radio. Yeah, I said it. It's cool. Antonio Crowder died, and he went to Montevallo, and I go through Facebook, and I hardly see any statuses saying RIP to Antonio. I'm like, is y'all for real? Me and Antonio wasn't best friends or even close friends, but I knew him, and we played flag football together. And many other people knew him, but I felt like he didn't get the same respect Mike got from people from Montevallo, and y'all actually knew Tonio. And regardless if you don't like him, you knew him. Mike had flaws just like Tonio. Tonio entertained just like Mike. Tonio got a college degree and Mike didn't. So where's his RIP statuses? I just don't understand y'all people. Y'all knew Tonio in real life, but don't know Mike no more than you know John Doe. And what bothers me the most is people on Facebook getting mad because people making jokes, are making joking comments about Mike. People, so what? Mike ain't getting mad. Hell, most of y'all made jokes when the man was alive.
He ain't getting mad because he dead.
I know. I know.
You know why
you said it? Yeah, that's exactly why. That's exactly why I said
it. Your opinion is a penis.
But yeah, so that's the gist of it. The rest of it, yeah, doesn't really say much. But let me say this before I get your guys' opinion on this. One of the big things about this, I know now, like one of the reasons why I was upset when I wrote that is because of Antonio. Like I said, I didn't know Antonio personally, but there's this one thing, like Antonio is the reason why I can honestly say that I'm here being able to do this podcast or that I'm here now because he changed the trajectory of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an instance. So when we was going to the University of Montevallo, and I play intramural football because Montevallo didn't have a real football team. Intramural football was the big thing on campus.
Yeah.
You know, we filled up the stands with all that and a bunch of people out there. So with this, so we were playing there. And of course, if you know anything about the University of Montevallo, it's predominantly white.
Mm-hmm.
My fresh...
Yeah. Real creepy.
Real creepy. And so my freshman year in college was the biggest class of African Americans who attended Montevallo all at one time.
Mm.
And so we pretty much started our own intramural football team. So we was playing this white fraternity, this big, big white fraternity. And, you know, they were playing dirty. Like they were like, Ali, my brother, like they actually pushed him and he flipped over the people in the stands. Now, this is flag football, no contact flag football. Mm. And so, you know, the ref was one of the fraternity guys' girlfriend. So they was pretty much just, it was a conflict of interest. They was letting them treat us like anyway, like any type of way that they wanted to.
Didn't nobody get shot?
See, that's what I'm going to get to that.
I understand. I knew it was a golden retriever somewhere around this
ram in the
bush. Mm-hmm. So after the game, and we're walking back, so you know, it's me, my brother Ali, brother Mel.
Shout out to y'all. What's up, Smiley?
Hey, shout out to y'all.
Right?
And
Nape Town.
And it was two other people. Nape Town, down for whatever. We ain't never gonna forget it. But
620, bitch.
So when we were walking back, you know, for us, all of us came out of the inner city in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And you get that feeling. You be like, man, I made it out the hood. I ain't come to college to get punked out by no white boys, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially by no preppy white boys with a silver spoon in their mouth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's only, like literally, it's only four or five of us. So, of course, we go to the dorm room, to our dorm room, and we know that they got a house. Now, this is a house full of them. Like, I'm talking, like, you know, like the fraternities that you see in movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, it's 50 to 100 of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's for five of us. So we go back to the dorm room and we equip ourselves with different things. You know what I'm saying? And honestly, when I think back on it, it's like we was really going in there not to come back out. You know what I'm saying? Like, is there, because there was no other way. Like, either if we was going to come back out, we was going to come back out. You know what I'm saying?
Criminals
in a body bag, you know what I'm saying? On a stretcher. Yeah, because you know they house,
already playing dirt on the field.
Yeah, and you know, because it's their house, you know, they got things in there to protect themselves as well. And so after we get everything that we was gonna get, go over there 4 or 5 deep, we run into Antonio and his line brothers, because they were both they both were Kappas.
Mm.
And so I guess, like, I don't know why they came and stopped and talked to us. But you know what I'm saying? Because we to me, we weren't looking suspicious. You know what I'm saying? It was just another group of kids just walking on campus.
Maybe they saw.
Maybe they saw.
Maybe they saw the game.
Yeah. Yeah, you know that might be true. And they because of the direction that we were heading into. Mm-hmm. But they stopped us dead in our track. Like, you know what I'm saying? And right out their mouth was like, no, y'all can't do this. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, for me, you know, especially back then, man, I was such a hothead. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, at least still a hothead.
Yes, sir.
So when the both of us was amped up, you know, it's like fuck that's everything. Yeah, yeah, that's you know what I'm saying? And but they stayed out there, and they was doing what your OGs supposed to do. As far as like, especially like since we were in college, like they were the upperclassmen. You know what I'm saying? If anything, they done went through probably some racism and a bunch of
worse because of y'all, the biggest African American class.
They were the ones before us. You know what I'm saying? They crawled so we can walk.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, and so they took. You know, they sat out there and they talked to us for. I don't know until a nigga wasn't even mad no more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we end up just going back to the dorm room. So for me, like I said, like I've never literally hung out with Antonio for real, for real.
But he did you a solid.
He did me a solid like that right there. I'll never forget it because I was truly about to do some ignorant shit.
By choice.
Hey, give me one. Like, I was literally about to go through some ignorant shit. And he stopped us. So for me, like I said, like, not even after that, we didn't hang out or anything like that. But I always remember, I still carry it with me.
He changed the trajectory of your life completely. You said it.
Completely.
Yeah.
Like, he literally saved me and my brothers from doing some really, really ignorant shit at that moment. So he passed away the same time Mike passed away. And when he passed away, and I was looking at all these different people on Facebook who went to the university with me, and it was very far in between where I saw a R.I.P. Antonio.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there wasn't that many. It was literally R.I.P. Mike. And I'm like, all you know what I'm saying? Excuse my language. All you motherfuckers went to school with us, and this man, and he was coming. You can't say rest in peace. So add that on to like that's my anger. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm angry now. First off, I'm upset that the man is dead.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I was upset that the man is dead. So I took that anger, and I turned it into a note because it could have been just a status.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like a quick little status. And so whatever I was feeling about towards Michael Jackson with Antonio dying, it amplified it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which caused me, like, I ain't trying to make no excuses, which I can say it kind of caused me to be a little bit more insensitive. Or maybe not, because I was an asshole anyway, especially back then. Like, I never really cared about the shit I said. I would just say it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So.
I mean, okay, but well.
Yeah.
Hold on now. You ain't all the way lying to post either, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're gonna call a spade a spade. You didn't all the way lie.
It was just your
choice of word. Like, you were angry because of the stuff that you have. You felt like Antonio was being slighted. You know what I'm saying? Now, there were a lot of people. You know what hype beats are. You know what trending topics is.
That's true.
You know what I mean? You know what happens when something happens in social media and everybody is now talking about it. You know what it's like for somebody to, you know what I'm saying, jump on the bandwagon and go into, you know, this emotional propaganda. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like a glutton for emotional pornography. You know what I mean? Like, it's people who will go to places to find different things just to feel sad about it, just to revel in the sadness and the sad part of it. You know what I mean? They don't even necessarily feel anything. You got to think about how sad it is for people who just want to feel shit. They just attach their emotions to a celebrity. You know what I mean? So you didn't lie in the post. Michael Jackson was iconic. He was larger than life. You did not lie. If somebody, if one of my friends died on the same day as Nipsey Hussle, I'd feel the same way. Especially if I feel like one of my friends, I would feel the same way if somebody, if one of my folks had died and Nipsey Hussle passed. First of all, I can't use Nipsey Hussle because I really felt some way about Nipsey Hussle. Mm-hmm. I really saluted this nigga. I really looked at Nipsey as a king. I really looked at him as somebody that, like a god. You know what I mean? I really did. But if motherfucking, if E-40 died, bruh, my nigga, like, if Too Short died, bruh, and a bitch on the same day as, you know what I'm saying, one of my partners, I'm going to be mad. I'm be like, bitch, what's my favorite word? Bitch, why you got to say it like that? Y'all some hoes. Y'all didn't pay no respect to my partner, especially because a lot of my friends are known. A lot of my friends are known in certain circles, bro. I'm going to be mad anytime somebody... Like, you got to think about how angry I am when I feel like somebody that I know is not getting the respect that they should get, and they alive and well. I'm going to be 1,000% upset if my partner dead and y'all shining over that shit because motherfucking E-40 done passed. Bitch, you got me fucked up, and I'm sorry. So I understand your anger there. The beautiful part of this whole conversation... It's the duality of this shit. It's to be able to say, this is who I was then, and this is who I am now. You know what I'm saying? Like, this now. And I think that as a part of the human experience, people are trying to dilute that whole process. Like, they're acting like they were always this person.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't get there.
Like, you know how, like, when somebody's growing their hair, it's the ugly stage.
Yeah.
People try to act like that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Like, there is no ugly stage.
Yeah.
But something I also want to say is, I agree with the things that you were saying, but the people who, let's say, who commented on that note when they were attacking me, I take that back. They weren't attacking me. They was expressing how they felt. It wasn't really no attack. They was really just trying to explain, like, hey, Ruff, like, you know, I felt this type of way. If it wasn't for Mike, you know what I'm saying, I wouldn't have been here. I wouldn't have been in college for this or doing this.
Yeah. Because you can't really tell people how they
that did. Same way that they were doing that, I was doing that for Nipsey. Mm-hmm. Like, every time somebody started complaining about, you know what I'm saying, like what you were saying, like, those feelings like pornography, emotional pornography, you know what I'm saying? Like, the same way, like, you know, people were saying that, like, oh, y'all ain't really care about him, so, and, you know, y'all don't even know him, why y'all fake acting sad? Then I became the person like, no, you just don't understand.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, they were trying to counsel this man while he was dead.
Correct.
And that's something that pissed me off. But this man is dead.
Who was trying to cancel who?
They claimed that the LGBT community was trying to cancel him, which they weren't. But it was like certain people that was like, man, he said this 4 years ago, so I don't fuck with him. And it's like, bruh, people have a right to change.
Yeah.
Because he didn't change in the type of fashion that you expected him to.
Yeah.
That don't make him any less of a person.
That's right.
Less than somebody to mourn.
That's right.
And when I seen that, of course, you know, I don't know this man. He did stuff for the community, though. He did stuff for people.
You're not going to separate
that. Right, you're not going to do that. You're not going to separate what he did for people. What he gave people jobs, bro. Mm-hmm. He did more shit than your actual president right now.
Yeah.
For the community.
Yes, sir.
You get what I'm saying? So whatever he said 4 or 5 years ago, X all that shit out. You're not going to tell me that you didn't harbor all these fucking emotions for Nipsey Hussle for 5 years, and that man did.
More than likely, they never really do harbor their emotions that long.
Yeah. It's always like some quick, like, oh, we talking about Nipsey Hussle. Like, we live in an era full of contrarians, bro. Like, we have to talk about that facet.
Bob Waterbys.
We live in a world full of Bob Waterbys and Barbara Waterbys. Like, we live in this area where everybody wants to have a contrary opinion about something to make themselves look more interesting.
Everybody want to play devil's advocate.
Everybody wants to play devil's advocate and advocate for shit that they don't even truly believe to make themselves seem like the more interesting person.
Or don't even care about.
They don't give a fuck about that shit.
You
like
don't
that.
Care about it. You're not even educated on the subject to even know, to even speak about something. You just want to say, I don't like it.
That's right.
Or this ain't what it's supposed to be. Or blah, blah, blah. Like, you don't even know. You got experts with this shit. And you gonna be the person that say, oh, it's not supposed to be like that. Where your degree at?
We're not gonna even say that a degree qualifies you to speak on certain stuff, but
if you don't know shit about it.
You being knowledgeable about it does matter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you being knowledgeable about it. So that's what I'm saying. Like, the note you wrote, it wasn't all the way wrong, but we can understand why it was out like that. Like, you said some things because it was based in anger.
Yeah.
And justifiable anger, though. The anger was justifiable, bro.
But was it really, though? See, and the reason I asked, because my anger was amplified because Antonio passed away. But who's to say that Antonio touched other people?
The way he touched you.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, who's to say that he
might have just did it that one time and then went on.
He might have been a motherfucker.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know his relationship with other people. So that's why I don't necessarily believe that my anger was all the way was justifiable. Now, it's somebody else who's on that comment who felt the same way. I mean, on that note, who felt the same way as I did. You know what I'm saying? Especially because that person attended Montevallo too. He actually went to Montevallo, and they both, him and Antonio, I believe, came in around at the same time. So they were some of the OGs, some of the older heads. But, yo, just because, let's say, I don't know, let's just a Facebook friend on Facebook, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's say if something happened to me, God forbid, I don't expect one of my friends on Facebook to put on their status, you know what I'm saying, I hope Anise get better. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, real, honestly speaking, you'd probably be pissed off because you know they don't know.
Yeah,
You'd probably be pissed off.
I would be. So yeah. In that sense, yeah. Like some of the people who went to I can't even make that correlation because at Montevallo, majority of the black students hung with each other. We knew each other.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
come on, walk in this room.
We knew each other. Like, they, especially when we got there, like, it was only a handful of black sororities and fraternity on campus. Matter of fact, there was only one black fraternity, and that was Kappa's when we first got there. So you knew who this man was, you know what I'm saying? And as far as sororities go, I think there was three sororities. So you knew who Antonio was. He was part of one of the people who did orientation. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
I mean, but the point I'm making, like, Brian, you understand exactly where I'm coming from. Justifiable anger. Justifiable as a 22-year-old. And justifiable as a 32-year-old is completely different.
That's true.
No one's going to make it seem like your feelings in that moment were not justifiable if you truly felt the way you felt. Like, just because you were, you can now see the error of your ways or the immaturity of your ways at that point.
Yeah.
That does not soften or take away the validity of your emotions at that point.
You got to look at what your emotional responsibility is as a 22-year-old.
Right.
Like, your emotional responsibility as a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
You can throw a tantrum and everybody's like, oh, it's a baby being a baby. 10 years later, you can't act the same way.
That's
But
true.
10 years after that, you can't act like you're 12 either. So as you progressively get older, you're looking at the terms and conditions of what you're allowed to do changing. Back then, you were a 22-year-old who felt a void by somebody who changed an element of your life. And as a result, you are now affected by it. When you look at what takes place in your life now, everything that you see from that point, you say, this man probably had a hand and what I'm doing at this point, because I probably wouldn't have at this point if it wasn't for this finite point where he stopped me. This finite point where he stopped me and said, hey man, nah. If you don't have that moment, everything beyond this, you can't account for anymore. So the thanks that you would have to give to him for that moment, him and God at that moment for whatever take place, you can feel angry for that. You can actually have that level of resentment because you don't have the 10 years to look back to say, okay, it was illegitimate.
And also, it was kind of fresh when you really think about it. It happened when you were like 18 or 19, right?
No, it was 21, 22, somewhere around now.
No, what I'm saying is when he stopped
you. Oh, when he stopped? Oh, yeah, I was 18.
He was 18.
Yeah, yeah.
So when it was like 21, 22 when his man died.
Yeah.
So, like, that experience was still kind of fresh. You got people that saying, like, man, Mike was a big influence on my life. Like, you was dancing to some Mike at 5, and now you saying at, damn, 20, he a big influence on your life. You probably didn't listen to Mike no more at 20. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever. You might only listen to him in passing. So it's like, this man made a impact on your life 3 years ago versus some music. Now, of course, music, it heals the soul. You know what I'm saying? Of course, you know, you listen to music, you listen to so many different artists at so many different times, but I can't tell you a Mike song that's gonna be like, man, I remember I was in this dog place and I listened to some Michael Jackson. Like, I can't ever say that. Like, I mean, I'm so being so serious. Like,
have you seen my child?
Like, bruh, like, you can't.
She ain't my girl.
You can't say that she was ever, like, actually, like, sitting there somewhere and was like, man, I need to get through my day. Let me turn up some Michael Jackson. I don't know nobody alive. I don't know nobody. I'm pretty sure there are plenty of people, but I don't know anybody. I don't know not one Mike song that stopped somebody from jumping off a roof. Like, I don't know nothing.
Make a change, Mike. Might make you actually come back.
There might have been that one song. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Okay,
well,
Crummer, he asked, and was you okay? You know what I'm saying?
I'm pretty sure that man probably got like 5 good solid songs that make you be like, man, I can't make a change. But bruh, honestly, in the moment, bruh, if you would have been mobbing to these white folks dormitory, they frat house, all this shit, you think you gonna listen to some fucking Mike?
Was on that level. If I must be respectful to the culture. The video was on that level.
If anything, if you would have heard this shit on the way, you would have been like, hell yeah, you would have been chasing them on that, you know what I'm saying?
Tape and them knives.
Exactly.
And wrap around your wrist, and you and them niggas gonna be chilling like this.
You finna skate to that
motherfucker. But for real, like, you can't reduce someone's impact by what they put out into the culture. Cause, and if that's the case, then, like, it's certain that, like, how she feel about Chester. Like, right. Nipsey ain't made, like, a suicide song.
No.
So, we can't say, like, just because he didn't do it, don't mean he don't have an effect on somebody to make them keep going.
Right.
So, I'm not going to put the Michael Jackson conversation to that level.
No, but, I can understand the anger behind it. You get what I'm saying? Because it wasn't that long ago. Hell, when you was 22, you was on some bullshit. But, like, you probably on some evolved bullshit from 18, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that man made an impact on your life
in
a way that you could have died from fucking with these white people, you know what I'm saying? Them motherfuckers gonna have tiki torches over
and
some shit. You know what I'm saying?
Tiki torches and khaki pants, bro, before they was even popular.
Straight out of Target.
That's what I'm saying.
Praise
a motherfucking name, Jeff.
Like, Jeffrey. I've heard maybe out of his entire catalog, I probably heard 10 Nipsey Hussle songs. And at least 3 of them songs, I didn't even know that was him on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But when he died, that hit me in the chest.
Hit me straight in the chest, bro. And I didn't even know I felt that way about him.
And then when you found out what it was about, it was like, bro, you really mean to tell me this nigga died because of this?
A nigga named Shitty Cuz.
Shitty Cuz, bro. We killing our own people because you embarrassed by some shit.
Yeah.
That's the shit that hurt the most.
Yeah.
This wasn't on no damn Dr. Sebi documentary shit.
Assassin type.
Shit.
Yeah.
He's trying to buy NBC. Fuck, man. Weak-ass nigga shot this man.
It really be your own niggas.
It really do.
It really be your own niggas.
It
like,
really
for real.
Do, bro. And that's the shit that hurt the most. This shit with Mike... You found out later on what the hell happened, but bro.
Found out like what, 7 years later?
Mike five was or sick. Seven?
Yeah, he was. He was.
Really? I mean, it's fucked up that he died in his 50s.
Yeah.
He was sick though. Nipsey was 33. Yep. And got shot in front of his child. In front of his stove.
In his neighborhood.
In his neighborhood. The same neighborhood that he's trying to build up.
And now the brick and mortar store is not even. They're closing the store. They close in the store, and all marathon runners will be online.
Online only.
And I'm sorry. Let me go ahead. Go into this one. Black Sam, his brother, mm-hmm. is literally having to go to war with Crips over the name, the marathon. He's literally having to fight for some shit that his brother started. This is the vulturous attitude of black folks that I cannot stand. So, to get right back to what you were talking about, you weren't all the way off. Because as Brown was saying, we have to speak about emotional capacity. We have to speak about emotional intelligence. And we have to speak about redemption of certain things, which is why I'm a person who is so against cancel culture. I'm so against it because there's no redemption to be had for people. And black people are not monolithic. We are not all one person, and we do not all grow in the same increments, my nigga.
At the same speed or at the same rate.
You know, like, one day you may very well be here. And you may reach a level of maturity in some dynamic in this area. And you may be dumb as fuck in this area. But I can't hold you responsible. Not even I can't hold you responsible, because you are responsible for what you say. I can't hold you accountable for a 10-year time span. All some shit you said at 22 years old. I cannot condemn you because it's a lot of stuff that I did at 21 that I don't want to be held accountable for at 31. Nigga, you ain't even really realized who you are at that point. You still trying to figure out if you like certain shit on your food.
Look how much stuff you delete on the on this day shit.
Man.
Every time on this day pop up, you go search.
Hey, listen. Hey, listen. Y'all have no idea, bro. I click on this day of memories every day. Purpose, because I be like, oh, okay. No, I got to get this shit out of here.
Man,
was
the internet holds you forever.
Yeah. And people who don't know me, if they find that shit, they will literally try to use that.
To tear down your character.
Imagine when you blow up.
My goal is to blow up and act like I don't know nobody. You gotta go to Twitter right now and just search your name because and certain hot words, keywords, and just put by your name and just be like dick, sex, fucking, rape, gay, fags, all that. I literally can't remember what the hell I could have said. But they will purposely go. I've seen this toxic shit before.
Motherfucker 12 years old. You can...
Brother Nature, bro. When you see this man in your timeline, I'm talking about you instantly get a smile on your face. That man is going to different countries.
That man good for the ecosystem.
He good for the ecosystem. This bro is donating. That's what I'm saying. This man is like, hey, man, every time y'all look at my video...
Yeah, Canella.
That man is doing shit. That man be out there swimming with
and he's a
shit.
Young man who took advantage of social media.
Of his platform.
He took advantage of his platform and made his popularity transfer into profits.
I want to say he's 20 or 21. He young as fuck. But they keep putting him in the positions where he's getting with these animals and stuff like that. He was in a pool with a cub, nigga. How the fuck you do that?
He getting endorsements.
Shit like that. He getting endorsements.
He getting endorsements.
Somebody looked up some shit from when this nigga was 12 or 13 12. When he first started on Twitter. He said some shit about Nazis. Are you serious?
Hey, listen.
Let's cancel this nigga.
Cancel culture.
Hey, listen, I would get canceled because when I was in school at Montevallo, me and Oli would go in the calf and everybody, and if it was quiet, you would just out of nowhere hear me and Oli screaming, white power. And we would do like the Nazi answer. Like from out of nowhere, if it was quiet in there, you would literally hear me and Alicia walking down. White power. White power. You know what I'm saying? So, listen, that's wild.
But he said something similar to that shit, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden, we need to counsel him. Bro, do you know how long ago that shit was? That shit was like damn near a decade ago.
Years ago, they tried.
This, he was a child. Yeah. They exactly. Successfully canceled this man, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, when you see something on Twitter, because Twitter is where we basically get our news. I hate looking at the news. So we go on Twitter, and you like, man, they be like, man, what happened with this person? God damn, he said this. How the fuck y'all know he said this 8 years ago? Because this motherfucker, it's hating ass niggas that will and put your act name and then put a name transgendered, gay, LGBT, white people or something like that, right?
And I mean, I'm going to go out there and say it, bro. These are the views that are of Annie's Austin. These views do not reflect Ignorant by Choice podcast, nor the owner and host of this show, Rough Show. These views do not reflect anything associated with the Witty Committee. This is not my partner's, Bear Brown's. This is not nobody else but my view. I think that sometimes when the LGBT start talking, it's a lot of hypocrisy, and it is very much so toxic the way that we allow for people to say certain things. But then when things are said about them, then all of a sudden we want people to be held accountable. And it's like, I don't know in what world we live in where somebody can say some shit and make a mistake. And I'm not even going to say make a mistake. Because 4 years ago, it's probably some folks that said some crazy shit about faggots and all of that. 10 years ago, it's probably some motherfuckers that done said some hateful shit about, you know, gay folks.
But the name of the game is growth.
The name of the game is growth.
And you're not allowed to grow no more.
You're not allowing these people to grow. You want these people to be put in a position of hatred and cowering in a box, afraid to speak and say what their truths are. And it is in direct opposition to your position at this point. The LGBT wants to be able to, and they should rightfully be able to, do, say, and express themselves the way that they want to express themselves without nothing being able to happen to them. Well, we can't have it both ways. You shouldn't be allowed to say some of the hateful shit you say about people.
True.
You know what I'm saying? And then when somebody say something to you or say something in regards to you, all of a sudden they homophobic. All of a sudden these people need to have their lives stripped from them because you felt the type of way because you came at them crazy or they said something
that you didn't like.
That you didn't like, or they said something from a position of ignorance. Yeah. Because it is ignorant when you just don't know.
Back to being just don't know. That's
how I feel. That's Annie's Austin. That ain't got nothing to do with this me. This is me. Because I probably got a lot of shit on my Twitter from some shit that I said that people probably gonna look, search, find, and post and be like, this the nigga y'all wanna listen to? First of all,
I'm a young nigga that touched it out.
Like, I don't believe that you have an issue with anything that I said. Because if you did, you would have established this already. So this is why I had an attitude and bravado I do when people act like they got a problem with some shit. Like, you ain't gonna move nothing. Like, this is the reason why I say this shit. Because you don't care that much.
Yeah.
Anytime I say that, it's like, you ain't gonna do shit about this, bro. Like, you really not. Because you're not finna come to blows with me over some shit that I said 8 years ago. You're not finna stand in my face and actually come to me like, I got a problem with you, buddy, and I wanna settle it. No, you're not finna do that. So all this little rah-rah shit that you're doing is for attention.
Yeah.
Like, you're not finna do nothing about it. So why are we sitting here having a conversation? Mm-hmm. Why you act like this affects you so much? Mm-hmm. Like, anytime I say those words, you ain't gonna move nothing. I'm simply saying you don't give a fuck that much.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do not want to come to blows over this. Yeah. So unless you do, move something. Or we ain't got nothing to talk about. We can keep going with the rest of the day. I'm not saying it's like I'm king shit or I got an S on my chest for real. Yeah. I'm not thinking I can just walk around and whoop any nigga ass in the world, but everybody has a threshold for what they care about. If I spat in your mama's face, okay, you gonna move something. I wouldn't spit in nobody's face and say move something after, because you going to.
Yeah.
But if I'm doing something myself, if I express my beliefs or my views on something and you sitting over there stewing about it, you ain't gonna move nothing. Because you don't give a fuck that much.
You just want to be sick.
Exactly. You just want to be mad.
Yeah.
And you wanting to be mad doesn't actually, it doesn't actually produce real anger.
Yeah.
Wanting to be mad and actually mad is two completely different states of mind.
Hey, that's facts. That's facts.
If somebody go outside and fuck up your car, that's real anger. You don't have to talk to nobody about that.
Yes, sir.
You ain't got to seek no counsel. No, it's fix this shit. It's either fix this shit or I'm finna take my shit to your front door.
Yeah, yeah.
We ain't got to do no talking.
Yeah, yeah.
If somebody stepped on your shoe and you kept walking, I'm like, man, whatever, bro. It's a pair of shoes. Like, being real about it. My one's white, but if you stepped on it, it's like, bro, you could have watched out from a foot, but we ain't got to come to blows about it.
See, a nigga will take getting their foot stepped on and go to the crib and look at their shoes and be like, ooh.
I wish I would have slapped that nigga when I seen that nigga.
He deserved to be slapped, so I should. That's
underlying shit. That's other shit that you mad about. You just found an avenue to travel where that shit can manifest in physical.
Right.
Like, now I have a reason to be mad. So I'm choosing this reason to be mad. Mm-hmm. Like, the anger you displayed for your homeboy, I don't even know if you call him your homeboy. I'm going to call him the angel God placed in your life at a certain point in time. Mm-hmm. We'll call him that. The anger you displayed for that is justified. And I understand why she said justified, because if somebody came out and said something negative about that man, in the midst of his death, you would have responded. You wouldn't have talked to nobody about it.
Exactly.
Facts.
Justifiable anger is different.
So you would have jumped right then, like, especially you have been in the room, so like, man, fuck that nigga. He went shit. And you like, hold on, bro. Yeah. Like, you don't have to talk to nobody.
Yeah.
You ain't got to sit here and think about should you be mad.
You don't give a fuck if he was a fuck nigga to anybody else. He wasn't no fuck nigga to you. And until somebody gets some straightening about that, their experience with him does not outrank your experience with him. He's a person who is multifaceted, who has existed in several different realms with several different people. That is what a person and relationships is. And we have to be able to say that. That's why I said, like, bro, at 22 years old, you express yourself completely unbiasedly from a place of justifiable anger and just sheer bewilderment. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, bro, how in the fuck are we so adorned? Man, I really believe that a lot of your frustration came from the fucking theatrics that was behind this shit. I truly believe that because, bro, if you really want to be honest about this shit, that's the exact same way you feel about shit today. You are still very much annoyed about people expressing themselves in places when it come down to people, but won't move half of that same, won't put some of that same energy into shit that they should be concentrated about in their own communities. I'm annoyed when I see people upset about stuff that's happening in Sudan, but they don't give a fuck about what's happening in the streets of Birmingham.
Man.
You see what I'm saying? Ooh. I'm upset about that. That's a justifiable anger for me because I know I have a brother who has special needs, who I'm afraid to go to the next grade. He's going to sixth grade middle school. I'm afraid about some of the stuff that he's finna get ready to come to. I don't have the time, nor do I have the forced will to sit up here and manifest anger about some people who I don't see. I'm empathetic, but I'm not gonna sit up here and act like my work. I'm not finna go as far as to do, I'm gonna make my fucking profile picture this blue to stand in solidarity for Sudan when I can't fucking tell you when the fuck it's happening over there because my motherfucking cable. Oh, my mama feet swole. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's just your real level. Your real level of scope. That's what comes with knowing who you are. I resist social media sometimes because it's almost like this shit try to tell us what to be upset about. What you supposed to be upset about. What you supposed to feel. How you supposed to feel about shit. Like, it's almost like we are constantly put into a situation where we are in this constant cycle of emotions. Hey, this is happening. Feel some type of way about this. This is happening. Yeah. Feel some type of way about this. It's emotional pornography, bro.
Like, damn, Notre Dame or whatever church that was burned down.
Yeah.
Like, nigga, they church burned down. You got people in the United States donating to this church, and you still
millions,
without water.
You see what I'm saying?
That's wild.
Do you know how much it costs for them to get water, bro? Which is crazy as fuck to me. It's either $15 million or $50 million. Why the fuck ain't nobody did nothing about this shit yet?
You can come up that easy though, for real. If people actually care about what's going on in that black community.
But you keep But like then it's the underlying thing that this celebrity can't donate this much money because it's supposed to be a state issue. But the state is not
fluent enough.
Right. So it's like, bro, we really worried about some shit that's going on over there, but that's the street.
Wait a minute, hold on, time out. There's a cap on what we can donate.
It's a cap on what you can do when it's another person's responsibility. It's so much stuff that you can like. Okay, like you know, like LeBron James, right? He got this school, LeBron James. So you got him with the school, right? He can't fully fund that school because then it wouldn't be a public school. It had to be a private school.
Oh,
so
okay.
It falls into the realm of that. It's only so much that you can donate or only so much that you can do without it falling under a certain type of other
like situation. Like turning into a private entity.
Right. Yeah. Because you think that with all this legal help and shit that Jay-Z doing, you could have gave them $15 million to fix this.
But that's so crazy, though. Like listen to what we're saying. Just listen to what we're saying, y'all.
But that's a system in place to keep people at the level that they're at.
Wow, exactly.
That's literally.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because public school, like for instance with the LeBron things, with the LeBron situation at his school, we all know public schools don't have the funding to a certain extent.
So, but he wants to keep it as a public school.
So kids can go to it.
Right, so their parents won't have to pay.
Because the only way, if once it turns private, then the state or the government will no longer put funding in it. But as long as it's public, then the
so
state...
So he can only give so much because I seen a post about how he only giving so much amount of money. The reason why he only giving so much amount of money...
Because that's all he allowed to.
He gives the max that he's allowed to, and then public schools have to come in.
But look at the psychology behind it.
It's crazy.
Look at the psychology behind this shit. Like, look at the fucking people who will sit around here and say what a celebrity should be doing or what a celebrity is not doing enough of.
Right.
As if we do not have a government. This is why I'm so frustrated with black people when they act like they are so above the political process. The political process is supposed to, they act as if they don't know that the root word for politics is policy. Politics is what the fuck your child is learning at school, what they're eating. It's who's picking up your trash in your neighborhood. It's the sewer line. It's all of these different things. That's what politics is. Politics is not just something that we discuss every 4 years.
Politics is supposed to serve the people.
Politics is supposed to be, it is the realm that we have that we should take more of a responsibility too. That's the reason why I feel like people who say that they don't use their right to vote are fucking imbeciles. And I'm very upset that they feel the need to say this out loudly
and
proudly as if they are not fucking idiots. I'm not asking you, do you vote for the president?
Yeah.
I'm not asking you that. I'm saying, do you vote? Like, where's your polling location? What's the last place you voted in? Especially when these people go through so fucking much to keep us out. Do you know the last time we had a fucking election in Alabama? Bruh, I had been at this same location since I moved to Homewood. I had seen some of the same people in that location since we've been in Homewood. Them folks came there on time and was turned around and told that they had to go to a different polling location because all of a sudden it had changed.
Yeah.
Like, they go through so much just to keep your black ass from voting, and you will sit up here and spit in people's faces by saying loudly and proudly that you don't vote. Bringing this back full circle, Nipsey Hussle was doing things that made people who were in a better position shame. Because he was doing it with the least amount. He had just got to the table. He had just got invited to the Rock Nation brunch. He had just gotten nominated for a Grammy. He had just gotten a GQ magazine spread. He had just gotten an interview. He had just gotten all this acclaim. Nipsey Hussle had been putting out mixtape after mixtape after mixtape. He had been putting out bullets, ain't got no names on it. He had been putting mailbox on. He had been doing all this music. I'm talking about for somebody who's a hip-hop historian. I know this shit. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? I told everybody that motherfucking Victory Lap should have won Album of the Year.
Facts.
You see what I'm saying? Remember?
Facts.
Facts. Facts. I told niggas this shit. So, he was just now getting to the table and was already teaching gangsters how to be more knowledgeable about coding. Come on, bro. This man was actually doing the work. And you got people who had the money who wasn't doing what he was doing because it was different with Nipsey. That's the reason why it affected us differently, because he was literally fearless, literally had a heart of gold, literally was out here trying to save his people, literally. And it's annoying. It hurt all of us because we were upset at the idea that if you want to be a fucking beacon for your people, you will be turned into a martyr. And we will then allow for other groups to dismiss your name or mock your name because of some shit you said 4 or 5 years ago. Nipsey can't be counseled.
Nah, Nipsey.
That shit justifiable. Me saying that, that anger that I feel is justifiable. It's the same exact way your anger when you was 22, that shit was justifiable because you understood, you had an emotional response to that. And you had logic to back that up. Yes. Yes. Listen, Michael Jackson was iconic, but he wasn't touchable.
What you mean by that?
Iconic. He was iconic, but Michael Jackson wasn't somebody that you could see walking down the street.
Yeah.
You didn't see him as one of the people.
Yeah, he wasn't relatable.
He wasn't
of our culture to a certain extent. Like, man, not like I want to say I want to make this understood. I'm not dismissing his blackness.
No,
under no circumstances.
We gonna, on this show here, we call the spades.
Yeah,
and we saying shit as a buck. And my brother said what the fuck he said. And y'all ain't gonna move now.
Like.
Oh, Mike let you know that he was black.
Yeah.
First and foremost, he wasn't trying to be nothing else.
He wasn't trying to be nothing else, but his star power. Yeah. And what the white folk did, it put him in an area the way he felt like he was larger than life.
Yeah.
He had reached a level of iconic nature.
So basically, he got to this certain level in his life to where the average person
Can't identify with.
Two
times what Beyonce.
I can no longer relate to you.
But you got to look at who Michael Jackson was. The man showed up on stage and didn't say nothing and didn't move.
And there were
people
out.
Are fainting in the crowd, bro. Like, when you have that much appeal over another human being, you are not a regular person anymore.
Yeah.
Like, honest to God, bro. The Weezy Committee can take off in the next year. And everybody in the world knows my face, has heard my voice some kind of way. Meaning, like, we went from 28 views to episode to 28,000 listeners to episode. We still can walk around regular people and give daps.
Yeah.
And people look at us like we regular people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson couldn't go nowhere.
Yeah.
Nah, he couldn't go nowhere.
He couldn't go nowhere. Like, even, like right now, Justin Bieber can't even walk through the mall.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to shut the mall down.
Yeah.
That's Justin Bieber.
That's a level of
happiness. And this is 10% of what Michael Jackson was. Yeah. Michael Jackson couldn't go nowhere. Like, the second he showed, the second people
like, he
knew,
can dress in a disguise, but once you heard him talking,
yes,
you like, automatically
knew. It's pandemonium.
Knew. Yeah.
Like, and pandemonium is something that I don't think people realize what pandemonium is. It's literally humans are not thinking for themselves in a moment. They're just reacting. That's what pandemonium is. It's like, oh my God, it's Michael. You don't know how to calm the fuck down from it.
Yeah,
like he literally went places and people could not behave anymore as human beings. So you're not saying that they're wrong by saying he wasn't a part of our culture. Like, I don't mean to say he's not black.
Yeah.
He's not in the culture.
Like I said,
what I'm saying is the everyday black person who understands what being black is, he don't know no shit about that. Michael Jackson don't know shit about being a black man in America. I'm sorry. I stand on that. That ain't got nothing to do with you.
I'll stand on that opinion as well.
Exactly. He don't know shit about that. Yeah. Because he was a star at 7. At 7 years old, I was sitting in my mama living room drawing on notebook paper. I can still do that today. Like, and I'm 30. Michael Jackson at 30 could walk in a Best Buy. Like, if Michael Jackson existed now, Michael Jackson walks in a Best Buy. Best Buy is closed for the next 2 days, and he was in there 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because people just want to go stand in the spot that he was standing in and take a picture about where he was.
Yeah. Oh, a story. So his lawyer, right, this kooky white looking guy, I forgot what his name is. Him and this other lawyer that's stationed in Birmingham, they was on 280, right? And a coworker of mine just happened to be at with the Superior Grill or something, whatever place. Okay. So
taco
he was
place with the fucked up name.
So him,
Superior Grill sound like they supposed to have steaks.
So him and another guy or whatever, they do Miss America pageants and stuff and Miss Alabama pageants and stuff like that.
Like Steve Harvey?
No, they judge. They do judge.
So they was there.
They was there, right? And they seen Michael Jackson's old attorney, right? He recognized this man simply because he's been on TV with Michael Jackson. That man, my coworker, had to shake his hand, and his reasoning was, I just want to touch the hand that touched Michael Jackson.
Man, get the hell out of here.
I swear to God, that's what he said. And this was not even that long ago. This was like last weekend. I swear to God, he said this.
But you got
to
think,
I just want to touch the hand that touched Michael
Jackson. It's people that are crazy, though, because it's dudes that'll get, like, there's one dude on eBay. He sold an apple that LeBron James bit off of.
Yeah. Like, what's the album where the guy was talking about, I think it was, Kanye, it might have been before Kanye. I want to say it might have been Ludacris. Like, damn, my bitch fuck such and such, and I'm fucking that person.
That was Kanye.
That was Kanye. You know what I'm saying? But that's the type of
people that said.
Yeah. So, but that's the status that Mike was on. So, like I said, I'm not dismissing his blackness, but he wasn't a part of the culture.
Man, Nipsey Hussle was walking up on people with the marathon on their shirt. He was walking up on them and saying, hey, I like your shirt. And he was literally, people were literally just engulfed. Like, he was one of them.
But see that, and also, but that's one of the reasons, that's one of the things that led to Nipsey being killed, because
he was too accessible.
But that's one of the things that we appreciate.
Your greatest strength is also your greatest weakness.
Yeah, like, that was one of the things, like, if I was to go to LA and go into Marathon, I'm liable to see Nipsey.
Chilling,
you know what I'm saying? And then to buy some and know that he was going to be actually grateful. Like, it's not, I make a song and say, oh, I'm grateful for everybody to come out to the store. No. I could literally hear those words.
He shook your hand.
Yeah, like shook my hand.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you. Like, I could literally hear those words. You know what I'm saying? That was one of the greatest things about Nipsey. You know, just as far as like when the stuff that he was doing for the culture, the stuff that he was doing for his neighborhood, the time, his money that he invested and learning about investing in, you know, certain tech hubs and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like Nipsey literally put in the work. He didn't just say a bunch of shit. Mm-hmm. He literally went out.
He did what he said. More stuff didn't do. That's why they were ashamed. That's the reason why it's been such a boom, because it's like, bro, we got to make sure the marathon continues. But the thing about it it hurt so much. It is so sad. It's so tragic. It's nothing. I can't even listen to Nip no more. Like, his shit come on, I instantly get sad.
Yeah, me too.
I instantly get sad.
Me too.
Like,
instantly.
Like Double Up come on all the time, we in the studio, and I just be like, man, fuck, bro. Like, the thing that's so crazy about it is that Nip, what I'm forever grateful for to Nipsey Hussle is he tried to redefine what gangsters were.
He tried to show that there was value even in the dirt. You know what I'm saying? He had gangsters, hardcore Crips. You know what I'm saying? Out this bitch trying to do coding so that they could work for themselves. He showcased that people could gangbang and could have a background in this shit and still show that we were still very intelligent. So, I mean, in closing, bro, like, I'm appreciative for you being able to stand in your truth. You know what I'm saying? We need more of that shit. We need more of that shit. We don't need to counsel our black folks. We need to counsel our black folks.
There you go.
Hey, that's a word.
Like, we don't need
that's to a word.
Counsel no motherfucker, but counsel. Let your motherfucker, let your people come to you and tell you what their flaws were years ago and then stand in there and compare notes.
And allow these people to grow.
Allow these people to grow.
Now, that's one of one of the most important things I do is talk about where I came from and a lot of this.
Before we point that mirror somewhere else,
I got to stand in front of it because
I've been like that.
I've done a lot of stupid shit and said a lot of stupid shit.
Bro, I don't believe in canceling nobody that looked like me, bro. it's only one person on earth that I've been like, okay, I just don't rock with them no more. And that's Kanye. And I have my reasons for that.
Yeah.
Like, I was a Kanye fan. Like, I'm never going to stop saying that. Like, he does not know the bounds that I was with that.
Yeah.
Like somebody that literally wrote your own lyrics down because I didn't have the time or the means to go and look up the lyrics. I would sit here and play the same lines over and over again and write them down in a notebook. That's the fan level I'm talking about. So when you get to this point now where you're behaving the way I can't recognize who you are no more, that's the only person that I'm at that level with. But I'm not in the means of saying no, I'm gonna counsel somebody that look like me. Like the chick who the Netflix series just outed, you know what I'm saying? That they did all this wrong shit about? Like
when they see us?
Yeah. When her name went back, oh yeah, cancel her ass. Cancel her ass.
Get out of here.
Bye. Because you ain't doing nothing for me.
Yeah.
And nor are you a part of the same struggle that I have to deal with every day.
Yeah.
I don't believe in putting nobody's life harder if they live in the same realm that I do.
She's part of the reason for the struggle that we live.
Yes, exactly. Sir. Like if you are part of the opposition against black people, meaning the things that you do, the things that you say, the behaviors that you have, they contradict what black people actually are,
mm-hmm.
meaning you are the resistance against us. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, bye. Yeah. I ain't got nothing to say about that.
First off, fuck your crew and the clique you
claim. Like, I'm cool with that, but I don't believe in saying, like, if somebody, like, I don't believe in taking something that somebody said 10 years ago and making it sound like, oh, this is something that we don't need around us anymore. Yeah. Simply because this person said something in the moment of them being angry about what the fuck they felt.
Yeah.
You are allowed to be angry. I hate this notion that black people aren't allowed to have emotions.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because if we don't have the ability to impute what we feel about some shit, we can be held liable for it. Y'all get out here and do this shit all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Little Timmy go out here and shoot up a whole school, but he mentally unstable.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to put credit on whatever the fuck he just did.
Yeah.
But I have a bad day, I cuss somebody out, and now I need an attorney.
Yeah, they weaponize our emotions.
They weaponize our blackness.
Our blackness in totality.
Exactly.
So your anger, as I said, was justified. And you can wear that, and you can stand in it. You felt how you felt at that time because a lot of this shit was sensationalized, and you have never been a man that has been one for theatrics. And listeners, I can tell you that as you proceed down this road, ignorance by choice, you will find that the host is not one for theatrics. You will look forward to this podcast to get a lot of truth and a whole bunch of real shit.
And y'all ain't gonna move now.
And y'all ain't gonna move now. We said that.
We got guns too.
We got guns too. And we said that shit and we sold it.
I appreciate it. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Before I let everybody go, definitely, you know, shout out your social medias where people can find you, listen to your shows and things of that nature.
Yeah, man, listen. Follow Smash Bros Radio for all things with the committee. You can also find us on all of our social media platforms. That's the with the committee on Instagram, and Facebook is
And Spotify.
And Spotify.
And Breaker. And Breaker, Stitcher, Podcast, Apple, yeah. Google Podcast.
Follow us on Anchor, nigga. You can find us anywhere. Check out everything, all things with it committed, bro, because you will want to see what we have coming next. Yeah. This ain't our first time moving with Ruff.
This ain't gonna be the last time.
This is dead serious.
We can really make this happen like every other month. It ain't but three hours.
Nice little quick drive.
I'm saying, like, just pick a weekend every other month. You got time. Like, just.
Hashtag ignorant with it.
With it by choice.
Yeah. Hey, look out for T. T do all that shit. T do all that. Look out for wishful events and all that, man. If you need a wedding planner, if you need some tarot cards reading, if you need anything that's dealing with
Listen, man, I'm a Jane of all trades. I know a little bit about a lot of things. Wishful, 3 L's, all social media except for Instagram. Except for Snapchat, that is the Wishful, 3 L's on the internet. Like I said, I do.
What the 3 L's stand?
Love, live, life, and I'm dead.
Don't let nobody tell you how that. That ain't what they stand for.
I appreciate y'all coming to make that drive and coming up here and sharing your thoughts with me. That actually do mean a lot. I ain't trying to get emotional in this bitch, but you know what I'm saying? I really do appreciate y'all coming out for the first episode.
This my brother shit, bitch. I'm here. Fucking talking about yo, gang.
And a whole lot of gang shit.
I don't fuck with you. We had to come, I'm gonna support who support, and I'm gonna support what I feel like should be supported. So even if you didn't share our shit, it's something that I feel like should be supported, so I'm gonna do it. But since you do anyway, that is all the more incentive to do it. So
hey, facts.
We getting paid for this shit. We getting paid. Cause the money gonna make itself, man.
Right, bro, like,
y'all better get on right now.
You know what I'm saying, bro?
Y'all better get on right now. Follow Ignorant by Choice every fucking where.
Cause you can start a podcast, but you can't do what we do though.
You can't do what we do. You can't do. Y'all ain't got that flavor.
It's cool.
Well, y'all can find the podcast on Facebook, Ignorant by Choice _ pod, P-O-D. On Instagram, it is Ignorant by Choice _ podcast. On Twitter, it is IBC podcast _. That's social media pages. The podcast in itself will be available on my website at ignorantbychoice.simplecast.com. And you can find it on all major podcast streaming platforms. So that's Google Play, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify. And from here on out, you'll hear this episode on June 20th. That's Thursday, and every episode here on out after that will be on every Thursday. I'm not going to give y'all a specific time. I told y'all that because ain't no telling when I'll post this shit.
Niggas got lives, bro.
Facts. Facts. But Thursday, every Thursday, I promise you, I'm dropping you an episode. I don't care if it's 11:58 and 57 seconds. You're going to get this episode.
Catch this one.
You're going to get an episode on Thursday. I promise you.
What? 620.
And after each episode, I would really appreciate if you guys liked it, comment, share. I promise you, I look forward to reading comments. Even if you disagree, I promise you, I'm really looking forward to just hearing how you feel. And if you have any questions and you want to stay anonymous, definitely shoot me an inbox. Like, my inbox always open for questions. If it's something that you want me to discuss,
it's anonymous, but I'm a no too.
please, no. And you can shoot me an email at ignorantbychoice1@gmail.com. And I'll answer the question on air if you want to. And just make sure if you do send me a question that you say that you want to stay anonymous.
Yeah.
And I definitely, once again, man, I appreciate y'all for listening. I appreciate you guys for coming through and recording with your boy for the first episode. We in this bitch.
From here on out, nigga,
Ignorant by Choice. Ignorant by Choice, man. We out.
Yes.
Fuck a rough show. Show.
Brother on a whole nother level. Mr. Rough Show. Can't no one do it better.